My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel and the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. He and his organization have been actively involved in the marriage debate across the country, frequently standing up in court for the traditional definition of a marriage being the union of one man and one woman. Two states where they have been particularly active are Florida and Virginia, and now constitutional amendments defining marriage as one man and one woman in both of those states are under fire. In Florida, by a lawsuit constituting six gay couples, and just Thursday in the state of Virginia, the newly inaugurated Attorney General, Mark Herring, has said that he will now refuse to defend the constitutional amendment and will actually join cause with those trying to overturn the constitutional amendment. And Matt, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you.
This is the statement that Herring said today. As Attorney General, I cannot and will not defend laws that violate Virginians' rights. That's what I have pledged over and over to do, is to put the law and put Virginians first. It's about what the law requires here. And we have concluded, I have concluded, that the law here is unconstitutional. And I think the Supreme Court would find the law unconstitutional. So on the one hand, his job is to enforce the law. On the other hand, he says here he's putting the law first by getting on the other side of this debate. What do you make of this?
Well, this is unfortunately the consequences of elections. And you've got someone who is lawless, and you really trace that back to President Obama and Eric Holder when they decided through the Department of Justice to pick and choose which laws they wanted to defend and which ones they wanted to not just step aside, but actually intentionally undermine. And they did that with the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. And now we see, of course, on the state level with this new attorney general, he does the same thing. He is not upholding the law. He's actually undermining the very law that was passed by the people. Now, this was a constitutional marriage amendment that was passed by 57% of the Virginian voters. As an attorney general, his obligation is to defend the laws, whether passed by the legislature or passed by the people. His obligation is not to simply act as a king or a potentate where he just wants to pick and choose which laws he's going to defend, and more particularly, which laws he's going to intentionally try to undermine. Otherwise, what would happen is, if you had, for example, a Republican-led legislature, and they passed laws that the Democratic governor or attorney general don't like, they would just simply refuse to defend them, or even worse, actively work to undermine them. That just makes no sense. That creates a system of lawlessness. It does not respect the rule of law, and it certainly does not respect the process of the people in protecting their right for representation and their right to vote.
Herring was inaugurated less than 2 weeks ago, along with the new governor, Terry McAuliffe. Are you surprised at how quickly they've made this move?
No, not necessarily. I mean, both of these are very radical in their social and political views. You know, the governor, the first thing he did on the very first day of office is he issued an executive order giving special protection status to homosexuals and lesbians and transsexuals and so forth within state government. And then 2 weeks later, of course, this attorney general comes out and doesn't just simply say he's not going to defend the law, but he actually is going to actively work to undermine the law that affirms marriage as the union of one man and one woman. You know, 8 years ago, the same attorney general, when he was a state senator, actually voted in favor of the law that he's now going to intentionally undermine. You don't change your mind on something this critical. Marriage as the union of a man and a woman is part of God's natural created order. You may not like it. You may disagree with it. You may not like gravity. You may disagree with it. But it doesn't matter what your opinion is on it. The fact of the matter is, it is what it is. It exists, and it exists for a reason. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Ontologically, men and women are made for one another in a way that two men and two women are simply not. It is through the union of a man and a woman that we procreate the next generation. That's why we have placed laws and policies around marriage to protect that very survival of our society. But also it's through the union of a man and a woman, husband and wife, male and female, that children have the best optimal environment in which to be raised. Moms and dads, male and female, bring different characteristics and components to the family relation and dynamic that two men and two women simply does not do. In fact, it is contrary to what two men and two women would do. When you eliminate one gender from the family, which is what same-sex marriage would do, and also not only eliminate permanently one gender from the family, but skew the view of the absent gender, have some kind of antipathy or opposition towards the missing gender, you ultimately harm children. And when you harm children, you ultimately affect society.
Matt, when the Obama administration, as you mentioned, decided not to defend the Defense of Marriage Act, it was ultimately the Republican-led House of Representatives that stepped in to provide the defense. What will happen in Virginia? Will Liberty Counsel get involved? Do you have any idea who will end up picking up the baton here?
Well, Liberty Counsel will certainly work to get involved in this particular case. The problem that we have here is that the Attorney General is doing this very close to an upcoming hearing. The legislature may be able to act and appoint some special defense on this case. But at any rate, you know, when the Attorney General, the representative of the Commonwealth of Virginia, actually walks into court and tries to undermine a law and steps on the same side of the courtroom as the plaintiffs, it really does a disservice to the whole adversarial process. The process is designed to be adversarial, each side presenting their evidence to the best of their ability. But when you have the state colluding with the same-sex marriage plaintiffs here, it undermines that process. But certainly Liberty Counsel will be involved at every level of this process.
Matt, in previewing the expected announcement from the Attorney General today, the Washington Post has pointed out, as you did, about what the President and Attorney General did on the federal level on this. They also talked about how Pennsylvania's Attorney General, Hawaii's Governor, Illinois' Attorney General have done the same things. But they also point out that Republican Attorneys General have done the same thing on different issues. It says Indiana Attorney General Greg Zeller declined to defend a portion of that state's immigration law after the Supreme Court ruled on Arizona's law. And then Herring's predecessor, Ken Cuccinelli in Virginia, decided last year that he would not defend one of then-Governor Bob McDonnell's key education reforms on the grounds that he believed the legislation failed to pass constitutional muster. So what can and can't an attorney general do here? Is he always obligated to enforce the law if he believes the law is unconstitutional?
Well, you know, there is precedent through history where attorney generals won't vigorously enforce a law. But that's a whole different ballgame where you decide not to give a vigorous defense or not to offer a defense than when you go into court and actually file a brief that actually undermines the case. What you ultimately have happen here, whether it's done by a Republican or a Democrat, when a law is challenged and it's not vigorously defended, you ultimately have a system of lawlessness. You ultimately have this system where the people pass laws or the legislature passes laws, and then it goes for a defense, and there's no one there to defend it. You could end up having this partisan divide. It could come down over politics. Obviously, in this particular case, what you have is a pattern of Democrats that are actively working to undermine marriage laws. That is a very significant issue. I mean, we're not talking about, as important as it is, an immigration or an education law, we're talking about marriage. We're talking about a fundamental, observable relationship that has transcended governments. It wasn't created by a governor or a legislature. It predates the Commonwealth of Virginia. It predates the United States of America. It is an institution and a relationship that is from the very beginning of time to the present. It transcends cultures. It predates governments. It's not something that is created by any legislator. It is something that is part of the created, observable universe in which we live in, and it has been transmitted through history and times and cultures. So to undermine that is not to be put into the same category, to either not defend it or, even worse, to try to undermine it, as in this case, cannot be put in the same category as Ken Cuccinelli deciding not to defend a portion of an education law, or somebody else deciding not to defend a portion of a immigration law. Those are different situations. This is something that wasn't created. In fact, when the legislature acted and when the people acted, they didn't create a brand new relationship called marriage as a union of one man and one woman. They just affirmed the natural created order of marriage.
Two quick questions before we let you go. First of all, Matt, as I mentioned at the outset, you're keenly involved in the Florida marriage debate as well. Those are the lawsuit there, I believe, is about a half a dozen couples challenging the state constitutional amendment. What's the latest?
Well, they just filed suit this week in the Miami and state court. They've raised federal constitutional questions, which is kind of interesting because they filed it in state court. But Liberty Counsel is working on that case right now to intervene in that case and defend the marriage laws. You know, I think if you back up a little bit, you go back to the Supreme Court decision in June of last year with the five-justice opinion that ultimately dealt with the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. I think that that opinion is a travesty of judicial activism. It is obviously completely devoid of any previous precedent or the Constitution and of common sense. And I think if the courts go down this road to ultimately undermine marriage as the union of one man and one woman, I think it is a bad indictment on the judiciary. I think it ultimately undermines the credibility and the legitimacy of the judiciary, which, by the way, is only because the people give it the credibility that it has authority. If people decide that the judiciary has just gone nuts and has crossed the line, the judiciary ultimately begins to lose its ability to govern or to administer justice.
Very quick, Matt, given what we see in Utah and Virginia and Florida, how soon till we see this issue at the Supreme Court and them deciding whether states have the ability to individually decide what the definition of marriage is in those states?
Well, it could be at the Supreme Court within a year or two, but certainly on this issue and other moral issues like abortion, I have absolutely no trust in the United States Supreme Court. These issues of life and marriage, they should not be up for a popular vote by justices of the United States Supreme Court. These are fundamental issues that are part of our natural law, part of our natural created order. And, we've lived under a tragedy of abortion for 41 years. 56 million people have died because seven people on the United States Supreme Court in 1973 and five people on the same court, different justices in 1992, ultimately voted, even though it has nothing to do, absolutely zero to do with the Constitution. So on this issue and other significant moral issues, I have no confidence in this court or, frankly, any set of justices on the Supreme Court unless they're going to follow and adhere to the constitutional principles and the rule of law. But what we've seen is they oftentimes just put their ideology above the Constitution, and that, I think, will ultimately be the undoing of the court itself.
We'll certainly be following the debate in both of these states and if and when it heads to the Supreme Court. Matt, thank you very much, as always, for being with us.
Thanks. My pleasure.
Matthew Staver is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel and the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.